Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I always enjoy when I see Kansas City Councilwoman Jolie Justice tweet out news like this one I saw last night. Great news. Just received confirmation that airlines have an agreement regarding new KCI. Airline reps will be at airport committee hearing tomorrow morning to discuss. That went down today. Joining us on the line is Jolie Justice, airport committee chair, along with being on the Kansas City City Council. Councilwoman Justice, thank you so much. Great news last night. How'd things go today?
You know, it was really great. We continued the celebration into the morning. We are looking right now at an agreement among the airlines, which, as we've been talking about here for a very long time, has been a complicated process, and this was a major hurdle that we overcame. So very excited to have that news today. And we learned some more details about the agreement this morning.
Can you tell us about that and what it means for those that might not be clear, what it means that there is an agreement?
Right. So I want to just kind of back it up again and remind everyone that airport terminals are paid for by airline revenues. And in addition to the fact that airlines are going to be paying for our new terminal at KCI, they're also backing the debt. So all of the bonds that will be sold, if we don't make enough revenues from the airport, it's the airlines who are going to be backing that debt. And so, because of that, the airlines wanted to make sure that they were comfortable with the scope, the cost, and then the cost allocation. And what the airlines have done now is come to an agreement where the majority of the airlines have agreed that they want to spend $1.5 billion on construction and that they know how they're going to allocate the costs. And so now they're going to be signing their use and lease term sheets so that this portion of it can move forward.
When you say they know how they want to allocate the costs, do they still work? Are they still in communication with you guys? Like, do we have a breakdown on that about the meeting and the agreement between the airlines and the city and all of that?
So what will happen moving forward is everyone, and just so you know, this happens in every airport where all of the airlines have to agree, or a certain number of the airlines have to agree to what they're going to be paying the aviation department in order to do business at the airport. And so part of that is, and we talked about this a little bit at length, is how they're going to split the cost on the baggage handling and all of that sort of thing. And so they have come to an agreement amongst themselves about how they're going to be doing the baggage handling. They have come to an agreement that they are all comfortable with the $1.5 billion price tag for construction. And then that will help them get a sense of what it will cost per enplanement, and that's the number that they're looking at, because of course they want to make sure that they're able to have ticket prices that are good for consumers and a product that's good for consumers.
Councilwoman, can we talk about the price tag? The last number that we had heard for construction was $1.64 billion, and airlines are agreeing to pay $1.5 billion. So does that mean that 1.64 somehow is going to come down, or does that mean money's going to have to come from somewhere else? How are we bridging that gap?
So here's the good news. We chose, I shouldn't say that because I haven't been involved in this process. The aviation department, the airlines, the developer, CWC Edgemore, they had said, here's what we want as far as the scope is concerned, and then they put together the $1.64 billion price tag. We are so early in the process right now. We're only at 10 to 15% of design. We're so early in the process that what they have decided is that they can set the budget for $1.5 billion, and then they can design toward that budget. So we're not going to see any change in scope. We're not going to see any change to all of the things that we've already talked about. Instead, as they are designing this, they're going to be working towards that $1.5 billion price tag. And so this is not unusual in a design-build scenario, and it's something that both the airlines and the developer are confident that they can do, and we're excited that they finally reached that agreement.
So what you're saying, Councilwoman, is that that design that we all saw, they're not going to start going through with a red pen like an editor would do and say, no, 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 no. That plan that we saw, at least something, that's still the plan.
That's absolutely still the plan. And what I learned today, and this is, was kind of interesting, this was something that Southwest Airlines was talking about. Anytime you have a design build process like this and you're this early in the process, when you give costs, they're just estimates. And it could be 50%, give or take. They're just estimates. And so what we've done here by setting this kind of goal, this reach goal, is we're saying this is where we want to get to. Now, through the design process, make sure that we don't exceed that goal. And it's actually a really good way to do this. And I think it's also going to get us a better product. And we wouldn't have been able to do this if we were further along in the project.
So my understanding, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, please, is that airlines along the way thought that the price that they were having to work with, that 1.64, was too high. That 1.64 billion was too high, which perhaps is why they agreed to the 1.5. So I got to ask then, were there things in it that we didn't need? Why was it at 1.64 then if we can do it for 1.5?
It was at 1.64 because we were so early in the process. What you do is you set a price, and it's just an estimate, and then you work towards that. And when the airline came back and said, you know what, once we go through all of the design process, we're not going to need that much space, CWC Edgemore said, we agree, and so that's where we are. So the bottom line is nothing's getting cut out. It's just a matter of Southwest Airlines and the other airlines have a lot of experience doing this, and they feel that with the plan that we have for the committee structure, where all costs are going to be run past the airlines, the aviation department, and the developer, that they'll be able to design the project to meet that budget.
You had said the majority of airlines have signed on. My understanding is that a couple of airlines did not. What happens to the airlines that are not signing on to this agreement?
So two things. Right now, there is one airline at KCI that is not a signatory to the current use and lease agreement, and that same airline will probably not be a signatory to this. Nothing happens to that airline other than if you're not a signatory, you have to pay extra in order to land at KCI, and that's something that airline is already doing. The second component of this is that there is one airline, and it's actually Frontier, that never signs deals that are longer than 5 years. That is just their business, how they operate. And so they are not willing to sign a longer contract. It may be that they come in eventually and sign on to this, but they're not going to sign on to a 9-year deal because their business model is to only sign on to 5-year or shorter deals. But they will be able to continue to operate there.
Jamie and I had kind of kicked this around, too. Is there another airline that we don't already have that can, you know, take up a little space in the new single terminal? Or are we, I don't know, for lack of a better term, maxed out when it comes to airlines that can make money at KCI?
You know, I don't know. I mean, first of all, no, we're not maxed out. We'll always be pushing to find more opportunities and folks to bring in. You know, I'm going to be brutally honest that over the years I've kind of lost track of who all the different airlines are at this point. And so, you know, what we should do is get our expert out at KCI, Justin Meyer, to answer some of these questions for us, because he is the absolute expert on making sure that we're getting the best mix of airlines and flights to our current airport, and he's going to be doing the same for us at the new terminal.
And he's a really big help with information and does a great job in that job. There had been talk recently about the need for a loan or a transfer of city funds to help pay for some of these costs that you inevitably just have in the run-up to getting this deal done. And there was a lot of criticism about that possibility of a loan. Is that still necessary? Now that the deal is done, does money start? I don't want to say money is coming in because I know bonds handle it, but is a loan still necessary now?
It may be, and here's why. So we are in the process of, once we get the development agreement passed by the council, which I want to make it very clear, the council still has to do its job now. We've been waiting for the airlines to finish their job, and they have come to an agreement, and now it's pushed back to the city. And so the council has to take a look at the new development agreement, and they have to pass the ordinance saying, okay, we are ready to sign this development agreement. Once that takes place, we will be able then to go to the bond market and sell bonds, which is kind of a long process. And so if there's, you know, if the council takes a few weeks deliberating this, then it may be that we need to, you know, push the bond sale a little bit further down the road, which means that we could get to a place where we need to get a loan in order to continue the work on the same track that we're on. And so that will be something the council has to decide in the next 2 weeks or so.
Councilwoman Justice, will you hang right there? We want to fire a few more your way coming up after the break.
You bet.
Hang on right there. That is Kansas City Councilwoman Jolie Justice, Airport Committee Chair, joining us. We've got more, including the environmental study, where we're at in that step of the line. Did the government shutdown affect the environmental study for KCI?
And some of you are texting in questions. 22980. We'll pass those along as we have time.
It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. A few more minutes with Kansas City Councilwoman Jolie Justice, Airport Committee Chair, joining us on the Newsline as there is a deal now. The airlines, Edgemore, this whole thing, $1.5 billion for a single terminal KCI. And Councilwoman Justice is back with us. I know that we were looking at the environmental study to see how that was progressing. And then we had a month-long government shutdown. How did that hold up the environmental study?
So here's what it did. We, fortunately, during the vast majority of that shutdown, all the folks on the local level continued to get the work done that they needed to do, and we have approval of the programmatic agreement, which was important. But what we haven't gotten yet are the signatures from the people who are up the food chain, and there were people above the local folks who were considered non-essential, and so now we have those out there right there for the lawyers to at the EPA and the FAA to be looking at, and once we have their signatures, we'll be good to go on that. We don't have a time frame on that yet. We're hoping that it gets done before the next potential government shutdown.
Was there a time frame that you had set before this last government shutdown that maybe we missed? And like you said, there's no time frame because of what is looming potentially down the road. But did we hope to have this done by, say, the spring?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm hoping that we have it done in a couple of weeks. I mean, what we had to do first was get the programmatic agreement agreed to, and that piece required approvals not just from the State Historic Office, but also from four separate Native American tribes. We have all of that. That's all in place. Once we have all of that, it gets folded into the overall environmental assessment, and that is now with the folks who need to be reviewing it and signing off on it. We have been told that we've done everything we need to do, and at this point, it's just a matter of getting it through all of the levels of bureaucracy, and our hope is that that's coming very, very soon.
Councilwoman, we are getting a few questions on our text line, 22980, if you'd like to ask those. I think I know the answer to this, but I'll throw it out there for you to answer. If it's only going to be $1.5 billion for a cost, why are they asking to issue up to $2 billion in revenue bonds?
So right now we haven't talked directly about how much we're going to be issuing in the revenue bonds, but you have to know this. One of the things that we have to do is make sure that we are able to pay for the cost of the project plus the interest that's involved. So that's the process, and I don't know that we have the final figure yet on what we'll be asking as far as revenue bonds are concerned.
Is it conceivable that you would issue more bonds than what you know you need just in case it runs over the $1.5 billion?
So here's how it works. You actually do it in two tranches, and that way you're not issuing too many bonds too soon or too few bonds. And so the first round will be hopefully this March and April. And we won't be doing it for the entire project. The airlines in particular are not interested in that because they don't want to start paying interest on something that they don't need yet. And so because it's broken up into two groups, we're able to make sure that we're doing it at the right amount.
Here's another question from our text line. Once construction begins on the new terminal, how will that affect air travel in and out of KCI for travelers?
That's part of the beauty of doing the new single terminal at the Terminal A location is we'll be able to let Terminals B and C continue uninterrupted. And the way this will work is when we're done with our new terminal at the Terminal A location, then we'll be able to turn off the lights on B and C and flip on the lights on Terminal A, and there'll be no interruption.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Denver airport construction. I'm not intimately familiar with it, but someone's asking, you know, anytime you hear about other construction projects at other airports, you get nervous about what's going to happen here. And somebody said, How are you going to keep this from becoming a Denver airport fiasco? They said when they built the Denver airport, they had cost overruns. The baggage handling was a mess. It ran over 2.5 times the cost of what they originally estimated.
So first of all, I'm not incredibly familiar with the Denver process, but what I can say is this. We are very, very, very early in our process. And we are just doing something that is very unique in that we have a committee that's made up of the airlines, the aviation department, and the developer, who are a committee that has to make every decision regarding making sure we hit timelines and budgets. So because we're starting so early, we can build in a lot of protections that other projects don't have because they start so late in the process. And then when you run into problems with the cost overrun, you haven't been able to work those into your budget. We're starting early enough that we'll be able to work those into our budget.
I know we always end with the question of what is next. We've been waiting for the airports to come to their agreement. Now does the ball shift back to your side of the court? Is this back to the airport committee chair and the city council? Are you guys next when it comes to an agreement of some kind of securing that loan? What is the next step?
Yes, the next step is that the airport committee, followed by the entire city council, will have to approve an ordinance that includes the development agreement, the use and lease term sheet, the community benefits agreement. It's all rolled into one ordinance. So that's one piece of it. And we're hoping that we have that in front of our airport committee next Thursday. That will, of course, all, you know, take place as fast as we can get it done. But our lawyers are having to now redo the I think, 380-page development agreement because of the change in the price. So we're going to do that first. And then the second piece is that we will have to discuss the financing components. And we've got at least 3, maybe more ordinances looking at both short and long-term financing. And that will have to be approved by the council as well. But the first critical thing that we must do is get the council to approve the development agreement.
And when, I know people want to know, because everybody, it's always one of those, oh, God, there's another step. Why is this taking so long? Again, we're not building a birdhouse here. It is a monumental airport. When does that next step happen? Will you guys meet again tomorrow, early next week? When does the next, tree get chopped down?
So our next airport committee meeting is a week from today at 9:45 in the morning. If the legal team is done with the drafting of the development agreement based on the announcement that was made today, then we will be able to take it up for consideration next Thursday. If they have not completed the work yet, then it would be the Thursday after that. In the meantime, the actual use and lease term sheet, which is the document that the airlines will sign, that is already in the hands of the airlines, and we've asked them to get that back to us by February the 25th.
It's not an easy process. We appreciate all the time you gave us today. We know it's been a very busy day for you. Thank you so much. Take care. We'll talk. I bet we'll talk with you again soon.
I bet you will. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Councilwoman.
Jolie Justice, Kansas City Councilwoman and Airport Committee Chair, joining us. A whole lot of information there. Again, I know it's a long process. People get mad about delays. This happens in every project. And we're not building something small here. I mean, it's pretty large.
And this was the big thing that needed to happen. This was what we said, yep. You know, was kind of holding up the process, was that airlines needed to agree. And now they agree.
Finally.
Yes.
Finally, they agree.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.